Reignite on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Welcome back to Reignite. I'm Áine Kerr. Keep your text messages coming in on 51551. Email to reignite@rte.ie or tweet at reignite@rte. Now, we talked a lot just earlier about goals and ambitions, but what of the game-changing ideas that don't exist today but need to be imagined? Tamara Carlton is an international expert in radical innovation. She's the CEO of the Innovation Leadership Group, and she just co-authored a book called Moonshots, 50 plus ways to turn radical ideas into reality. We caught up earlier and I began by asking her where and how the idea of moonshots began.
The origin of the term tracks back to this bold announcement.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
And for those that may remember President then John F. Kennedy talking about this idea, this was meant to be a big milestone because it was hard. It was also to achieve this big milestone within a set timeline, and in particular, to do it within a decade. And when we think about a moonshot today, it's really about achieving an almost impossible vision that has world-changing impact. This is more than just making investors filthy rich with another unicorn. It's also about benefiting humanity in some way. And so that's also that nuance of exponential, transformational, you might even hear disruptive, that people think of when they hear moonshot.
And so for me, a computer has always been a bicycle of the mind, something that takes us far beyond our inherent abilities. And it's still in its formation, but already we've seen enormous changes. I think that's nothing compared to what's coming in the next 100 years.
I love that you highlight the quote from Steve Jobs. To me, it's a great example when I speak with youth, really trying to find ways to make a difference, often don't know where to start. And when we talk about moonshots, you can see their eyes light up. This comment from Jobs of bicycles of the mind, he was already, if you don't mind the wordplay, letting this idea spin in his mind around how you could have this new technology of computing augment the human mind. And then he spent the next decade plus trying to find ways and introducing new products and solutions to make that real. And you can still find examples of that today. There's an agency from the US government, ARPA-H, H is short for health, looking to tackle these possible what-if scenarios. The Biden administration for the United States also has announced a cancer moonshot. And the big goal there is to have the death rate from cancer in the next 25 years. And when I talk with youth, just to say, can you imagine yourself in 25 years? How much will the world change? What are we doing in the next 5 years? What can you do tomorrow? And then there's other examples that are outside the medical or technology space in education. To me, it's exciting times to be in.
Does the location of these moonshots, though, have to change over time, particularly when we look to places like Africa, where we're going to see huge acceleration in the population of youth?
Location matters and doesn't matter at the same time. Certain parts of the world and the African continent have a number of moonshots ahead of them. And when we talk about education, you have 50 plus countries looking to take advantage of their demographic boom, and they have this source of raw talent. How do they prepare this growing body of youth and help open up more opportunities and allow this demographic or cohort to really build the future that they want to live in? But then you have other parts of the world, they're exploring different aspects of what is a moonshot, what does it mean? So if I stay with the demographic theme and we go to Asia, particularly Japan, here's a country that has a very rapidly aging population. And how does Japan think about big ideas? And in just the last few years, the Japanese government has introduced a moonshot R&D program, wrestling and addressing big ideas and looking for ways to harness technology to accelerate some of the technology advances to help their society. This is an aspect where you have region and location grounding it, but then you also have the overlap with other new skills that need to be built and also generational handoffs and ways that we can prepare the next groups who have to take these moonshots forward and live with what we've introduced.
Those who can dream up the moonshots and imagine, do you think we all have that capability? Are there futurists in all of us, in all of our companies and teams, or do you think it is a specialized skill set and mindset?
This is a capability that we can all learn. Some people might have a predilection or particular passion for different technology or for building or even looking at the financial aspects. But at the foundational level, how do we really have people understand how to think long term, give them the confidence to start from what might feel almost impossible, and then provide or have them see and explore ways to find the resources to get from this radical idea to reality? This is something that everybody can understand how to do. It's also about bringing the team together. And then you don't have to be the super person, but how do you aggregate and combine skills and knowledge? And then as a team could really explore and, you know, tackle that big moonshot idea that you might have.
The book Building Moonshots. So there's 50 odd tips. We don't have time to go through all of them today, but I'd love you to bring us through maybe four concepts. There's one tip in there about being an optimist, which I loved. Can you talk a little bit about needing an optimistic mindset?
Our first section of the book, you know, focuses on the future being positive is a really powerful tool, because when we think about optimism, it's a mental attitude and it shapes what you see can happen, influences what you think might be your possible options and actions to take. If you can cultivate and foster an optimistic outlook, you actually end up creating or adding another tool on what you could do. That ends up opening up all these possibilities. And if they could consider that, that actually ends up, you know, fueling the team's energy as well.
Another section is imagine a better tomorrow. One of the simplest things we can do is start with the question of what if.
That's existed for centuries, actually. Humans considering, you know, could we do this? What if this change is possible? You know, why not? And then there's a flip side to what if, which is imagine that. And this is a simple phrase in many ways, but by just asking those two words can really give people and your team permission to consider outside the box or opening up the boundaries and thinking about entirely different, even wild possibilities. And I mentioned ARPA-H. ARPA-H also embraced this what-if mentality and created a poster series as a way to excite the public imagination around big questions related to health, but also to provoke bigger thinking in the health community. And they took these what-if statements and used this as a way to have people imagine and kind of unlock these future possibilities.
So when we're inventing the future, then you're getting into, you have to make big bets.
Moonshots also come with a fair amount of risk, right? They're high risk, potentially high reward as well. Often with new ventures, it can feel like the best way to pursue them is to dive right in and focus all of your resources and attention in one particular area. But in many ways, you want to kind of diversify your approach. And the more that you diversify, you can increase your chances of winning and look at ways to not put essentially all your energy into one area, but look at multiple different experiments. It also allows you to test multiple decisions so that learning from one could become input for another decision. But also, if an unexpected opportunity comes up, you can also be more nimble and switch area or look at how that might advance what your team wants to do next to get to your next milestone.
In all of that, it's nothing without people. You talk about a skunk works culture and needing to foster that. Do explain.
This part of the book addresses how do you, you know, find the right team members? How do you incentivize and reward them? The idea of Skunk Works comes from a Lockheed team that was led by Kelly Johnson, and introduced this notion of a secretive group hyper-focused on doing almost impossible pursuits. A company that really embodies this type of skunkworks thinking is Patagonia. In the early days, the Patagonia team really was this scrappy group operating out of a tin shed or a metal shed. And even today, they've continued and really celebrate that attitude. And one of the ways is that their human resource department encourages all the employees to develop new ways of doing things. This, to me, gets to that kind of underlying belief or philosophy of the skunkworks culture.
Finally and briefly, Tamara, are you optimistic that there are moonshots already underway today that will help solve for cancer, climate change, future pandemics, healthcare?
The short answer is yes. There are many communities and groups, from government agencies to startups to big corporations to foundations, all trying to ask these bigger questions. What if we could do this? This is, you know, meant to be a practical handbook with, you know, the 50 plus ways so that they could get started and that they could move forward. And if they're stuck, they can flip through and say, right, we could be doing this. Yeah. Or here's another way to think about it.
Thank you so much, Tamara Carlton, for joining us on Reignite.
Thank you.